Today, we're joined by Abdullah Al-Hayali, founder of Pulp Health, an innovative AI-powered dental scribe platform that helps dental professionals reclaim their time and focus on patient care. Abdullah brings a fascinating background as both a technical expert and a successful entrepreneur, having previously co-owned Dice Health, where he develops a multilingual veterinary scribe with a master in biological engineering with an AI focus and experience as a machine learning consultant. Abdullah represents the new wave of healthcare technology entrepreneurs who are applying advanced AI to solve real-world clinical problems. His journey from biomedical engineering to founding multiple AI-powered healthcare documentation solutions gives him a really unique insight into how technology can address the documentation burden that keeps dental professionals working late at night and throughout the weekends. Welcome to Dental Tech Talks, Abdullah. How are you today?
Thank you for having me, Yusuf. Amy, I'm really, really happy to be here. I'm doing really well, really excited about this podcast.
Same. Really happy to have you here, and we'll just jump right into it. Your background is pretty diverse, right? I know you just had a successful exit, which, by the way, congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
You know, your background spans biomedical engineering and AI, which is a fascinating combo. There's a lot to do there on those two. But what specifically drew you to tackle these documentation challenges in healthcare? I know you come from the animal health space. What brought you into this? What's the story behind that?
Yeah, when we first started Dice, me and my co-founder, one of the earlier projects that we were consulting for was for a practice management system. And they were looking to integrate a scribe into their system. So we initially took it as a consulting project. And I was doing a presentation in November 2023 at my alma mater, Guelph. We had a few veterinarians who were attending, and they brought up the idea of we're facing the same issue, and it's really, really similar to what you guys do. So how about you look into that field? And just sparked the interest of me and my co-founder to look into the field. We did very aggressive interviewing / validation periods, and we found out that it's a real need outside of obvious clinical work. So for us, started with veterinary medicine. Obviously, the more time we spent, we learned about the problem itself. And then fast forward now to dental, which is an interesting story to how I even jumped into that space.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about that? What drew you?
For sure. So, yeah. So that was in February 2025. I have a good friend of mine who's a dentist. And 2 months after she received her degree, she unfortunately received a complaint about a malpractice claim. She went through litigation a year and a half, and then she found out that the verdict of it was, no malpractice, but your notes are poor. So that she got audited on her notes, and that to her was devastating because she's now under practice monitoring, and obviously 25,000, 27,000, I don't remember the exact figure, of lawyer fees late, and all of that could be evaded with just having proper documentation. That happened, and then I have family members who are dentists. Once they heard about that case, everyone got on high alert. So everyone started reviewing and pulling up the guidelines and notes from university of how to actually do record keeping. We immediately realized that it's very lengthy. And I started seeing how tiresome started getting them. Dental practice by itself, it's actually insane how dentists manage to, number one, manage the team, manage the patient's emotion, manage their own emotions. And then outside of clinic, after the 8-10 hours, they do like live a normal life. So from my family's perspective and my friend's perspective, started taking them 2.5 hours. And just naturally, by the time I was exiting Dice, I thought that's an opportunity over here that I can make something that is tailored to their, number one, writing style, and number two, compliant notes that in case that they get audited, they would be in the clear. And number three, it just adds efficiency and peace of mind and insurance that, number one, my notes are really good. They're beautiful. That's some opinion of dentists who have tried Pulp. And it's really exciting that we're just starting out and the response has been pretty, pretty overwhelmingly positive.
Incredible. So you basically were doing a similar thing in the vet space, then saw someone go through a really traumatic experience, and all of that stemmed just from notes?
Yeah. Like with veterinary medicine, it was a business opportunity that we found, and we're really happy that we made a good impact within the space. But with dental, it's a friend that I know, a friend that I really like, and I saw the effect that it has on them. And I would assume that a lot of dentists who might have went through a similar cases, they probably share a common sentiment with her.
Fascinating. And tell us a little bit more about your bioengineering background.
Yeah.
Like how did that play at all into your decisions to move into the vet space initially?
I think it helped me get exposed to a wide variety of clinicians, understanding the psyche of a clinician, understanding the dynamics and how they interact, number one, with their patients, and number two, with their staff. I find that a lot of tech folks that come from pure software and machine learning and they want to disrupt in health tech, they quickly realize that it's not only a technology issue. It's a very multifaceted, complicated issue of how you can manage, number one, the clinical workflow, how you can manage emotions, how you can manage your staff, etc. It's not like, for example, a regular software developer job where I'm sat over screen or I'm managing a team of, say, five. It usually is, in a dentist perspective, for example, multiple rooms, you have multiple hygienists and multiple assistants, and you're trying to manage all of that, and everything has to work in sync and harmony. So I think one of the things that biological engineering and biomedical engineering really helped me with is getting exposed and working with clinicians. I started working with radiologists, and I also worked with orthopedic surgeons. And even at a period when I was doing my pre-dental studies, I had a lot of exposure shadowing dentists and working at their offices.
How do you think that your background in machine learning helped shape your dental documentation problem?
So the background in machine learning gives me the technical expertise to get to the solution quicker and like understand the complexities of how dental documentation works compared to other professions. So medical documentation, veterinary documentation, and dental documentation are all widely, widely different. And having domain knowledge in, number one, how to implement that solution from a technical standpoint and how to implement that solution from a clinical standpoint really requires a lot of expertise. And I just happened to be lucky at the right time to be exposed to both.
Can you walk us a little bit through the how PELP works for like the user journey, just to give our listeners a little background on how what that would look like?
For sure, yeah. So PELP is designed to be and feel like a part of your exam room. The idea behind it, the rationale behind it is I want it to be another assistant in your pocket or on a table or whatever. You can load it up on any device, whether it's your phone or your computer. These are the two modalities that we see most commonly being used. And the way it works is before seeing a patient, you obviously take their consent, which we have a consent form on PULP's website. You choose which consultation you're seeing. So right now it's optimized for GPs, but I'm slowly adding other specialties as well. So say, for example, we're doing a recall and scaling exam. You choose that, you start recording, and then you have a natural conversation with whoever is in the room. That could be you, the patient, the assistant, or the hygienist, and the conversation could tackle clinical information and could also tackle non-clinical information. So for example, the first 5 minutes, we could be talking about the holiday that you had 2 weeks ago, and then I'll start, and the dentist can start talking about specific clinical procedures that they're seeing, the diagnosis, the prognosis, and then they can do an operation. Once all of that finished, 40, 15 minutes later, hour and a half later, they can just press finish, wait a minute, hopefully less. I'm trying to optimize it quickly. They will get a note generated. They can just copy and paste it into their practice management system.
Does it save the personal conversations as well, right? Like, hey, remember Amy went on vacation last week. Remember to ask her about it, just to kind of like refresh the dentist memory.
So that information is stored in the transcript of the conversation. Okay. But in the clinical note, all of that information is removed. So the focus on the note, you can find the clinical information only. However, in the transcript, you can find that and like the information that pertains to that conversation. However, one thing I need to mention is that due to HIPAA compliance and SOC 2 privacy procedures, number one, we don't store the audio recording, and we de-identify any personal identifying information from our end. But from the user's end, they can see the conversation.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
You mentioned dental. You know, there's a lot of dental verbiage, right? Because as you mentioned, there is the personal side of the conversation, which is pretty standard. Then you have a lot of dental terminology, right? Which is highly specialized. How are you able to train your AI models to understand, accurately transcribe but also understand and how to understand how to store that data in an EHR system.
Yeah, so that's a big problem that we were tackling and stemmed from a lot of work from the veterinary space that we did. A lot of the failure points with speech-to-text applications is the pharmacology terms, especially with medications and brands. This is really important. And it just took a lot of time and a lot of data that we've had. I literally remember going through textbooks and just extracting a list of names and then fine-tuning existing models and seeing. So one of the bigger models that is used for transcription is called Whisper by OpenAI. It's an open source model, and you can go wild with how you want to fine tune it. So in our case, it would be for dental, and it would be just a compilation of terms and commonly used phrases, and we just feed it into the model and we customize it to our use case.
And I know there's, you know, we always talk about hallucination rates. Do you see that so far? I know it's very hard to completely get rid of them when we talk about LLMs. You know, I believe humans make errors as well. So, you know, machine's going to make some errors. But do you see that in your process? And do you have any systems in place to kind of just turn that down a little bit?
Yeah. So from my perspective, and that's the technical person in me talking right now, I don't think hallucinations will ever go away.
Agree.
There are several bottlenecks in the process of capturing audio. That could be a bad microphone that you're using, or you could have someone who might have coughed at the same instance where you were saying the name of an anesthetic, for example. But the approach that we've been taking is similar to, say, how imaging is done, where we collect the information, we pre-process it, and then we feed it into the algorithm that summarizes the information, generates the note, and then we post-process it to make sure that the information pertaining to the terms that might have been hallucinated is actually put in there. And then again, by the end of the day, the last person who has the word is the dentist. It's similar to, for example, how an assistant would help the dentist write the note, or a hygienist would help the dentist write the note. The dentist, after all, they'll read through it quickly, and then they will sign off on it.
So there's always human oversight before it gets put into the EHRs.
One of the key mantras that I operate on is clinician in the loop, always. There always has to be a clinician. Like, obviously, there's the implicit bias of, oh, maybe like AI is going to replace us, or AI is going to do this, and that. That will never happen.
I bet the clinicians can appreciate that, right? Because no, they want 100, to still be involved and just have that personal touch, even though they're utilizing resources.
Again, it's an assistant for the dentist. I'm trying to make them more efficient. I'm trying to take one aspect of their practice that is cumbersome to them, however core to their practice, out of their mind. Because we realize that a lot of dentists, for example, they stay either later for hours after work to finish up the notes, or they might have to be spending a day or two over the weekend, or dedicate actual days to just literally writing. And I've seen it in my own eyes.
Yeah,
very interesting. And on the EHR side, how are you currently integrating with EHR and PMS systems?
Yeah, so currently I'm not integrated, Pub's not integrated into any practice management systems. Given that we're still early on, obviously down the line, that's on the map to get it integrated to make the experience seamless. But just given the numbers, the number of practice management systems available and how it have to be tailored to each system, obviously this is where Heydonto comes in.
Yep.
it's a time consuming process, but slowly. The goal right now is to ensure that the user experience and the quality of the notes generated when dentists use the application is as perfect as possible. My goal is for them to be mind blown every single time they use it. It's a new modality. I understand this. It's a new type of data. And I do also realize that within the space, there were a lot of promises made of, oh, this is the new shiny thing. And then it underdevelops. My goal is to work with clinicians really close hand in hand to make it the best thing that they can use.
That's incredible.
What do you think sets Pulp aside from the other general AI transcriptions or other tools that aren't really designed for dentistry? There's other tools out there.
Yeah. A few things. Number one, you mentioned that this is tailored for dentists. Number two, it's not a generalist tool. And we thought, okay, dentistry is one of the verticals that we can tap into. It gets back to the root of how Pulp was even created. I saw a problem that affected people that I love and I wanted to help. And number three, for dentists, they will probably see me in their office. I'll try to make sure to be as close to the dentist as possible, to listen to them, hear their feedback, follow up with them, and make sure that everything is in check.
Yeah, that's really nice. I'm sure that the clinicians appreciate that personal touch too, right? And you get to build those relationships with them and get their feedback.
For sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you said your platform works across any devices, right? So it can work. You don't need any special downloads or anything?
No, it's a web application. So the same way you open up any application using Chrome, Safari, or any web browser, you can do it. Soon I'll be releasing a way where you can just bookmark the application on your device and it will feel almost native to how you're, as if like you have downloaded an application, but you realistically haven't downloaded anything. It's a nifty trick that I'm working on. Number one, to preserve privacy, and number two, to improve user experience.
Definitely, I can see how that would improve the user experience for sure.
On the privacy note, how do you handle HIPAA, GDPR? I know you're based in Canada, correct? So HIPAA,
yes.
Is there HIPAA in Canada?
So we have HIPAA, we have SOC 2, and then we have PHIPA, which is the Canadian version. And then we have PIPEDA, which is another layer of privacy. So the baseline is HIPAA and SOC 2, and then everything else on top of it.
And how do you handle that from a product perspective? I know you mentioned that you de-identify any sensitive data. So your, you know, let's say social security numbers, those are not passed through the transcript.
Of course, you just
get the basic information, clinical notes. Was that the main basis for that in Canada?
Yeah, it tries to replicate the information within HIPAA and take it even a step further. Now, I'm not going to speak on the intricacies. I'm probably losing some details in there, but I'll tell you from how I built the application, I don't need any of the personal identifying information for several, and we don't store it for several reasons. Number one is liability for all the parties involved. And number two, I don't even use that data to train or improve the models used. It's all separate.
Yeah, and it's extra storage too, because you're storing data you don't really need. Not that it's much, but I'm assuming it still adds
cost. Honestly, the extra liability and the headache is just not worth, especially that the data is not even being used to
help. Yeah, I got you. And you mentioned some templates. Can you explain how your custom templates work and how do they help each practice or their own documentation style while still leveraging AI? Is there a lot of customization there? Like, how does that process work?
For sure. So currently the application has around seven templates. I have emergency exam, extraction, restorative endodontics, comprehensive oral exam, recall exam, and a generic soap note template. These were constructed after reviewing a ton of jurisdictions within the US. So within the ADA, within the CDA, the Canadian Dental Association, and within the NHS. So lots of hours spent going through the guidelines, understanding which headings and subheadings are required, what's the purpose behind them, and how they're used in the case that, number one, the dentist gets audited, or maybe it's used as a history trail for another dentist who will come in. So that's number one. Number two, in terms of customization, a new feature that I'll be releasing soon is custom templates where the user can give a title to their template, and then they can just paste an empty template with their own writing style, and they can use it within the application. So once they record the conversation and they use their own template, the note that will be generated will be within using their own headings and subheadings and their own writing style. Because I realized that dentists, some write verbose, some write more succinctly.
And does that, like, so I come in, I have a patient, based on the treatment, I select a template before I start recording, or is this something that happens automatically in the background?
No, you selected before.
And do you see one day AI being able to select those based on the conversation, generating the notes, and then spitting them out to the dentist? Is there a world where that's possible in the future? Are we talking roadmap now? Is this roadmap?
Allows a margin of error that currently I'm not comfortable presenting to the dentist, because it just goes against the thesis that I have of reducing as much time as possible. Because say there might have been a commonalities with two exams. Just for the sake of example, it could have been an emergency exam, but then you chose, a recall exam. I don't want the dentist to select, oh, that wasn't like select an emergency exam when the AI chose a recall exam. And that's two, three extra clicks that we didn't really don't want. Is it possible though? Absolutely. I mean, dentists can really try it out right now. You can go to any LLM provider, ChatGPT, Gemini, etc. They can put a transcript of a conversation. They can say, I'll prompt it and say, okay, what type of exam is this? And how would a corresponding note would look like? And they can probably see something very, very quite, very similar or close to what the conversation was about.
Honestly, I agree with you. I like your approach of taking the safer route. Let's work for the dentist and what's proven that works. It's kind of like the Apple style of doing products, right? Making sure it works first, really test it thoroughly, and then release it where it's stable and useful to the dentist.
For sure.
Yeah. Earlier in the program, we talked a little bit about, you know, the amount of time that dentists and clinicians spend on their notes and taking notes. So obviously we're talking about quality of life, right? That we can save them. So what kind of hours are we looking at? How much time can you really save them a week?
So anecdotally, from the small cohort size that I was personally shadowing to see and actually like sitting down and timing. Now I need to preface it that cohort, they're not as tech savvy as, let's say, a more tech savvy person. The word rate per minute is low. I found that the application reduced the typing by, let's say, 60 to 70%. So still not 100% there yet, but I do see the roadmap of it being close to 100%. And the biggest point of friction was the note contains a lot of information that usually dentists would not say out loud. So the application would not capture, especially within radiographic, like write and terp or treatment rendered. They're not going to say, oh, I used this much anesthesia with that concentration, and then no significant findings in all these subheadings. So it's been a slight learning curve with some dentists, but those who got really accustomed to it, they are seeing some promising results, even upwards of 80% and more.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I'll speak for myself, you know, being a hygienist, I would probably say, you know, in general, dentistry is a little bit behind at times with technology anyway. So I think that learning curve is probably pretty normal, and you'll continue to see that a little bit. But I really do feel like we're in that adoption curve right now where the doctors are really starting to, you know, embrace the technology a lot more and looking into new technologies and things. So I think you're coming in right at the right time to save them all this time in the industry. Well, really, I think they're really
for sure. Yeah.
And so
also,
an exciting time.
Yeah, no, and like I need to say this, we have to proceed with caution. I really like AI and really like the technology. I think it's been serving me at least and before I even dabbled into the dental world really, really well. And I don't want it to be a bad experience for some dentists, because the space is getting a lot of hype and it's the sexy thing right now, and it will call your patients and I'll do this and that. And I don't want it to be a tool that can do that with just some patience and some iteration to be something over promised and then it under delivers.
You're not totally taking over. They're still in the driver's seat. They pick their templates. There's a lot of customization going on, which I think is really interesting. I like your approach to the product, honestly. And with that said, speaking of products, Abdullah, I was looking at your pricing model. You have a free and then you have a premium tier. What motivated that approach for you? And what has the response been from, you know, solo practitioners versus larger groups, right? I know you just launched recently. Just curious about that as far as the pricing model.
Yeah, for sure. The pricing model, like I tried to price it competitively relative to, say, tools that are available in other spaces, keyly human medicine. But I think for me, I really wanted the dentist to have the ability to use it for free. I think 25 consultations starting out, and obviously still iterating and receiving feedback. Don't think a cohort of 20 or so dentists is sufficient. Like, we need more to keep on iterating. But I think a free model will make it somewhat frictionless or easier for the dentist to try it out. They don't have to request a demo. They don't have to book time from their day to actually use the application. It's very straightforward. You go into the website, get started for free. You create an account and you log in. You're good to go. You use it for 25 consultations. You love it. You can subscribe. If you don't love it, you can tell me how I can improve it, and then we can go from there.
Hopefully. Yeah. They'll awesome. Come back with feedback. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Let's talk roadmap. What's on your roadmap for sure that you're most excited about? How do you prioritize each feature to develop? You know, I've been through that journey. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what do we put ahead first, how many points in the sprint and all that stuff. What do you have on the roadmap that's exciting for you and for the dentist as well?
Yeah, it's once the dentist sees this tool working, the ideas waterfall just unleashes on you. And I really wish that I have the ability to do like 70 million features that will be able to serve all dentists. But I think the key thing right now is to perfect note writing. I'm still going back and forth, I'll be honest with you, with myself and also with dentists on the direction that I would take. The core of it is note taking, but I wanted to, I'm considering the direction of building a series of agents that will help the dentist. So that could be, for example, bookkeeping. It's a huge area that, for example, associate dentists don't really have the time for. It could be expensive hiring an accountant, or it could be adding phone agents. Obviously, there are startups right now that serve as an automated front office for the dental clinic. And there are smaller quirks that are really annoying to the dentist, and these are things that they will have to do. But just to not be hasty and not under-deliver a product, for me right now, the core focus is to get perfect notes, adding the ability to customize it, and then rinse and repeat, and then we can move from there to other features if requested.
Awesome. And I have a good quote for you, Abdullah. I really like this quote from Bruce Lee, and it's, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times."
Exactly.
That's what you're doing. Yeah. So Bruce Lee would fear you, figuratively speaking. Yeah.
Great analogy.
Yeah, I think it was fitting. Some dental team members worry that AI might replace their job. This is a conversation or a topic that always comes up with all our guests. Amy's in this space. I've talked to a lot of people in this space. I feel like people are opening up a little bit more about it now in general within the dental industry, right? I'm very bullish on AI, just like yourself. I'm excited about the technology. It's been really useful for me on a personal level and business level. But how do you see the role of dental assistants and admin staff evolving along tools like Pulp, right? Do you see them as like a layer to facilitate their work now the dentist has more time? Like, how do you see that evolving?
Yeah, precisely that. All these tools, regardless of what they do, they will not replace the dentist. Like the famous Jeff Hinton quote, a person that I really respect, in 2016, of, "Oh, within 5 years, radiologists will be obsolete." That did not happen. It doesn't work this way. There are governing bodies for a reason. There are liabilities for a reason. And then all the blame and all the focus is on the dentist for a reason. And then AI would come in and replace that. That's never going to happen. With respect to the staff,
I mean, never say never. Maybe in 50 years. Maybe, way down the line.
We can agree to disagree.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I was just seeing what you're going to say there.
Yeah. But in terms of like the dentist, the dental assistants, and the staff as a whole, I think it streamlines administrative workflows for them. That's my personal projection. The conversations with insurance providers, with staff, and with even academics, there will be probably increased scrutiny on the staff and increased pressures from either documentation or just paperwork. And this is where agents and AI would shine the most, because it will just speed you up. Instead of it taking you, let's say, 10 hours a week, it might take you 2 hours or even less.
Yeah, it's a force multiplier. I couldn't agree with
you
more.
For sure.
On that.
Yeah.
And by the way, I agree about in 50 years. Sometimes I think, oh, maybe AI will get to a point where it can do everything. But I personally also believe there's no way to take the human element out of it. It's just impossible.
Just very recently, the founder of NVIDIA, Jensen Huang, they said agents, especially, they will shine in specific verticals to automate certain tasks. So it's not going to be replacing someone or something or make a task obsolete, rather just increase the efficiency. It's the same thing with, introducing phone systems or introducing
exactly
digital charts versus paper charts, etc.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah. You're building in this space right now, in this AI space. Is there any other transformations that you foresee happening in the next 3 to 5 years?
I think, so obviously, RadenTurb has been a huge one. And I think that's one of the first ones that was introduced into the space. Just with the presence of large language models and vision language models, that will expedite the rate of adoption very quickly. And I think that was a good time period where a lot of these newer companies or newer startups, might have not understood the space well, or the dentist and the staff did not adapt to them well, they probably paved the way to more startups like mine to integrate within the space. So just similar to what Yusuf said a minute ago, I do think that adoption will slowly, slowly, slowly increase, especially when we have generic tools like the ChatGPTs, the Groks, the Geminis, proving success in menial tasks. I think there will be appetite to seeing how these tools will perform in more niche and specific tasks.
Yeah, and I think the consensus in this space is you have employees, staff members that are managing AI agents kind of situation.
Exactly.
Right?
Where, yeah, no, yeah. It, and it gets back to like human in the loop, clinician in the loop, like that always would be there just to instruct how the output would look like.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And how do you envision Pulp evolving to integrate with broader dental technology ecosystems, including practice management systems? Hey, Danto, we're going to help you with that. Imaging software, for instance, and other digital tools that dentists currently use. Is that something that you see as a need, or is that you just haven't got, you just don't see a market fit there for something like this in terms of integrating with those?
Two answers. Number one, TBD. Number two, in all honesty, my current focus is note-taking. I think there are phenomenal teams who are, for example, working on RadInterp, like Overjet. And these companies are great. I know of the teams, and they're doing phenomenal work. So they're probably way ahead. They're probably doing great work. And each company is focusing on a certain niche. Maybe down the line, there will be like a partnership to bring all these tools together. But for the time being, the focus for me, at least, and with Pulp, is to focus on documentation. And then we can take it slowly, however the dentists want.
I love your Bruce Lee style, Abdullah.
Yeah, love it, love it, love it. Well, it's been a real pleasure having you here on the
show
today. We've really enjoyed learning about how these offices can integrate note-taking technology and how much time they can save and give them back their quality of life, right? We're all looking for that time back. Time is money.
For sure.
That's how we look at it, for sure, right? So if you don't mind, please go ahead and share with our audience, you know, how they can get their free trial with you, get the free tier, and how they can contact you if they have any questions or anything.
For sure, yeah. Yeah, no, thank you. And thank you for having me here. You can access Pulp by going to www.pulp.health. You can click get started for free and you can sign up your account. It would be good to go. And in terms of contacting me, I'm available on LinkedIn, Abdullah Hayali or Abdullah at pulp.health. We'll also have an Instagram page, which is just pulp.health. I can also be reached over there. And yeah, I'm really, really excited to see how dentists would and their staff would benefit from this tool. Really happy that I'm in a space where I can have direct positive impact in.
Absolutely. And I think the reason you're doing it comes from a very pure space, because you watch someone that you care and love go through something so traumatic, which then led you to develop something to solve that specific problem and hopefully avoid it for other dentists out there, which I think is very noble of you. And I wish you the best of luck. It's been really a pleasure having you today, Abdullah, and can't wait
to watch
the company grow, and best of luck with the rest of your journey.
Absolutely. Amy and Yusuf, very nice to meet you.
Likewise.
Thank
Cheers.
You. Nice to meet you.
Right.
Likewise.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.